So now this text is going deeper into the actual benefit of meditation and the actual goal of meditation. The technique we all know, but what is the purpose of meditation? That point is being repeated several times. Because this subject is not easy to grasp. We may think we understand it, but once we get out of this class, our mind gets very quickly disturbed. So that's why the teacher feels that repetition is required to understand it. And last week we had studied that there is this consciousness, Brahman, Yat Param Brahma Sarvatma Vishvas Ayatana Mahat Sukshmat Sukshmataram Nityam Tattvameva Tvameva Tat. The support of this whole universe, the Brahman, the consciousness that we had studied in verse number 16, is subtler than the subtlest and at the same time is bigger than the biggest, and that you are not separate from that. And we had discussed in quite a lot of detail last week. Actually, the class went quite much over, so I won't repeat it, but if you're interested, you can listen to the talks on First Power. Go to firstpower.info, that's the website, and you can listen to last week's talk again. So then the question comes, what is the benefit of knowing this knowledge? Why should I meditate? What is my benefit in it? Because we are all do anything with the idea that it's going to benefit me. Like, you know, all of you are here, you could have been home watching TV or having dinner or taking a walk or doing something else, but you are sacrificing your time to be here. So what am I going to get out of this class? Why should I come here on Thursday night? So similarly, the student wants to know, what is the benefit of knowing this knowledge? What am I going to get out of it? So the teacher says that we have a lot of insecurities in our life, and insecurity leads to fear. I talked a little bit on Sunday also, but we have a great deal of insecurity. First, we have physical insecurity. I want to be physically safe. I want to be comfortable. So I buy a house. I need a house. Then I put an alarm system. The more rich I am, the more insecure they become. The richer they are worried somebody might break into my house and steal it. So not only they have an alarm, they have armed guards patrolling. They have dogs. They have big electrified fence. So the more insecure, the more we keep adding. Then we want security for our old age. So we collect money. We collect all our, you know, pension plan, retirement, 401k. After we have physical security, we have emotional insecurity. You know, somebody should love me. Somebody should care for me. What will happen when I go old? There will be no one around me. I need to have, so we get married, you know, a wife or husband. That hopefully that will provide us emotional security. Doesn't last long, maybe a few months, and then the problems start, but at least we hope that this person will provide me security. Then we have children. You know, again, when I get old, at least somebody will be there, you know, to come and visit me in the nursing home, at least. Forget about keeping me outside. At least somebody will come and on Mother's Day give me some flowers. So emotional insecurity. So then we have family. In India, we have extended family, uncles, aunties, grandparents. You know, the whole village becomes the family. Why? Because we need emotional security. After emotional comes intellectual security. I need intellectual security. So what do? I join an association. If I'm an accountant, I join accountants association, pharmacists, engineers society, medical association. So that I associate with people of my own intellectual capacity, my thinking. So when we have conferences, then we have topics related to our own, you know, field of work. Or we have associations of our community or our country, especially in India, we have 32 or so many states. So we have different associations, Telugu Association, Tamil Association, Gujarati Society. Or here people may have on based on the Catholics or Methodists or Episcopalians or Mormons. So people associate with people of their own type, so to get, satisfy their intellectual security. Because we think that by satisfying this, our physical, emotional and intellectual securities, we will be free of fear. There will be no problems and everything will be safe. And so that is the reason we do all this. But in the end, we find that none of this can buy us permanent happiness, can buy us permanent security. Somebody loved me today, tomorrow he loves somebody else. Money was there today, tomorrow the stock market crashes, it's all gone. Today I have this job and power and position and I'm the president, tomorrow I get impeached. Or in other countries, I get thrown out by coup and I get put in jail. So no matter what amount of power and all we accumulate, it cannot guarantee permanent security. To get permanent security, you have to look for it in something permanent. That does not change, that does not end. That is the Lord that is within and without us. So let us now see how we can find this Lord that is everywhere. And that is illumining everything that we'll study in the next verse, verse number 17. That's page 65 in your book. Jagrat Swapna Sushuptyadi Prapancham Yat Prakashate Tad Brahmaham iti Nyatva Sarvabandai Pramuchyate. We can chant together. Jagrat Swapna Sushuptyadi Prapancham Yat Prakashate Tad Brahmahamiti Jnatva Sarvabandai Pramuchyate. So Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. So these are the three states that we go through. Jagrat is the waking state, Swapna is the dream, and Sushupti is the deep sleep. So we all go through that, through all stages. Now we are awake. Then, then we'll go back and go to sleep. And then before waking up in the morning, we might have some dreams. So that state we all go through. But, and that is called prapancham. That is called the world of five elements. As we know, the world is made of five elements, space, air, fire, water, and earth. So this universe is made of five elements. Even in the dream, the world that we create has all of this. In the dream also there is space, air, fire, water, earth. It's just in a subtle form, but it is all present. So there is this prapancham, this world of five elements, which is, and we go through these different worlds, waking, dream, and deep sleep. But yat prakashate, but there is one that illumines Brahman, which supports or illumines this world. By illumines, people have this idea that there is this light. And when I sit in deep meditation, says Swamiji, a blue light appeared. And the light was so bright, my whole room was lit up. And I said, that's God. God is here. And then I woke up from the meditation and the light disappeared. So Swamiji or the teacher will say, the light appeared, right? And it disappeared. Yes. So that which appears and disappears cannot be God. It is a mental projection. Yeah, maybe it is a good sign that if you are having that such experiences, maybe it is okay, you are progressing. But that's not the final goal. Don't keep looking for light. Some people sit and in meditation, they look for light. There should be a shining light. There should be a sounds I hear. No, none of that is real. None of that is real. What you have to experience is the inner stillness. Reach that inner stillness. That is the experience of that truth. So what they say, when they say prakashate, it does not mean that there is a light, It is the light of knowledge, which makes me aware, like I am awake now, I see her and I see her and I see the chair and the picture and the light. So the awareness in me that makes me see all these objects and become aware is called the light of knowledge. Like when you don't understand a math problem and somebody explains it, you say, oh, I see. So by see does not mean that you have seen the math problem, but you have understood it. So when they say the light, it means the light of knowledge, the light of understanding. It does not mean that there is something you don't understand and you shine a light on it and it will become clear, not that. Same way in the dream state also, I'm aware of the dream and I'm watching the dream and I'm there in the dream and then I'm lost in the forest and then there is a tiger. So all that I see, the forest, the tiger, everything is illumined by that light of consciousness. Yat prakashate, and that is called Brahman. That is the support, the substratum, the consciousness which makes me aware of the waking state. As a waking state, my name is Anil or Swapna or Tony, so I'm functioning in that state. In the dream, I have my own projections, my own stories, and in deep sleep, I know nothing. But I, the consciousness, is always there. I, the consciousness, the light of the Lord is there even in the deep sleep. He is keeping my body going. He is keeping my heart beating, my lungs moving. And that consciousness I am. I am not far from that consciousness. We had discussed in great detail last week that mud becomes various parts, but the part, even though it looks different from mud, can be away from mud. Even though the mud is here and the pot has gone somewhere else, but the pot always knows that I am mud and mud alone, and mud itself has become the pot. So pot cannot be away from the mud. Pot is always mud. So similarly, we emerged from that one Lord. The whole universe came from him. So the whole universe is nothing but an expression of that one consciousness. You and I are all expressions of that one Lord. We have forgotten it, and so the purpose of study is to realize, recognize. Swamiji in his commentary says that we have to realize, we have to recognize, we have to reiterate to ourselves that this consciousness is me. Without that, we are caught in our personality shackles, physically. We are chasing after desires. I want this, I want that. Let me go to the shopping mall. There is a sale on 30% off, 40% off. And we keep running. I want this, I want that. Every time, and then when I can't get what I want, I go there and it's already sold out. Salesman says, sorry, it's sold out. I'm so upset. My mind is so agitated and so disturbed and I couldn't get what I wanted, and then the intellect is desiring more and more. Maybe let's go to the next store, down the other side of the street, or we have them call, hold it. So constantly our personality shackled, upset, disturbed by all these problems at the physical level, at the mental level, at the intellectual level, and we can never reach the stillness. And we are never able to experience that Brahman, that consciousness, that supports. Even though we are that consciousness, but we do not experience it because we are looking for things outside. But they say just turn inward. And as you have all noticed, when you are meditating and when your mind is still and not seeking or running into the world of objects, at moments of stillness, you experience that deep silence within, that deep peace. Or if you sit in a quiet place, this afternoon I had some time. Actually, Thursdays I have now started taking some couple of hours off so that I have free time because I was working too much. So I went to Hart Park and I just sat on one of the benches in front of the river under the tree. My gosh, I have never had so much peace. That place is so peaceful. The trees are so much positive energy, that flowing of the river, and there was very few people. It was very silent. So find opportunities like that. Get up in the morning, maybe sit in your backyard or go to a park or go to a place and just spend an hour in solitude. Do nothing. Don't even walk. Don't even run. Don't even just sit and experience the, especially when you're in nature. Nature is so compassionate, so loving and accepting. It's most beautiful. So do that and you will reach that stillness. You will experience that stillness, which is your true nature. We are stillness. But why is our stillness disturbed? Because of our identification with the body, mind, and intellect. As long as I think I am this body, I will suffer when the body suffers. If I think I am this mind, then I will be disturbed when the mind. If I think I am this intellect, I will be disturbed when the intellect is unsuccessful. So I am that consciousness. That repetition is very necessary. Because as I said, right now it is very clear that, oh, I am that stillness, I am that spirit, I am that conscious. And we go out and then we get a phone call or somebody doesn't talk to us nicely, it gets disturbed. Like now, if I have tell you this is cloth is blue, now how many times do I have to repeat it? Do I have to come and tell you every week this cloth is blue, it's not orange, it's not red? No. One time you have heard it, maybe as a child you heard that this is blue. Since then, you know, you don't need to be reminded again and again. But this issue of I am that spirit, we need to be, I have been listening to it for 20 years at least, more than that. Still not clear to me. Still there are moments, so many moments when I get disturbed, when I get agitated. So it is not easy, and that's why repetition is a must. We must keep listening. We must keep repeating to ourselves, and we must live as that. Because we are free. But we think we are bound. That's why he says, tad brahmaham iti jnatva. Jnatva means knowing it. Knowing not only intellectually listening, but also experiencing, also applying it in our life, living as the spirit. So which what it means is that, yes, I am the spirit, but my name at this moment is Swapna or Anil or Tony. Or that is my name. I am a male or female. I am young or old. But I am actually the spirit. And so whatever is happening to the body, mind, and intellect is not happening to me. So the body will have problems, the mind will have, the intellect will have. So you watch it. It doesn't mean that you don't fix the problem. You take care of the problem, but remember the problem is not me. Like the car is not me. Tomorrow suppose the car's carburetor is not working, or a tire is flat, or a battery is dead. Do you say, I am dead, the battery is dead? No. The car is battery is dead, I take it to the shop, have it changed. My car is running again. So similarly, my body has problems, I fix it. But I actually am always free. I am that spirit, but I don't know that. So there is a very beautiful camel story, which is very, it's worth repeating. I had told that a long time back, so probably most of you haven't heard it. So there was this man who had 10 camels. And what he was doing was he was going from one city to another. He was a trader, so he was buying products in one city, loading them on the camels, then going to the other city and selling it where, you know, where it was in demand. And that's how he made his living. So he would pick up the products. It take him 4, 5, 6 days to go to the next city. And then he would sell it and then come back 4, 5, 6 days, then again buy some products, take it to a different city like that. That was his living. And because the journey took several days, so every night he would stop in a, you know, like an oasis where there were some tents. So he would stay for the night in the tent. And he would tie his camels outside so that they don't run away at night. And so he had a stake, you know, like a nail, like a wooden stake, which he would dig into the ground, tie a rope to the stake and tie the rope to the camel's neck. So the camel wouldn't wander off in the middle of the night. And so he had 10 camels, he had 10 ropes, and he had 10 wooden stakes. And so every night he would do that. He would stop at a place, park the camels, tie them up, go to take a tent, go to sleep. And next morning he would be on his way. So one day it so happened he was going, and there were 10 camels. And when he took out his ropes, he found he had only 9 ropes and 9 stakes. One must have fallen off along the way. And so he was very worried, you know, I have only 9, I have 10 camels, how am I going to tie them? And if I don't tie them, one of the camels will wander off. And in the desert, a camel is very expensive. It's a very, very important, you know, it's like having a car here. Without a car, you are useless. So there, without a camel, you can't do anything. And it's very, very costly animal to buy. So he was sitting worried. He doesn't know what to do. You know, what am I going to do? At that time, you know, nobody had an extra rope or an extra stake. He asked around. So then he saw this wise man coming, you know, and he looked at him. He said, I remember this guy. He's very wise. He's like a saint. I have heard him speak. He's very knowledgeable. So he says, he approaches him. He said, sir, I have a problem. So what is your problem? He says, look, I have 10 camels. I have only 9 ropes and stakes. One is lost. How am I going to tie it? And if I don't tie it, it will wander off in the middle of the night. And next morning, I won't have my camel. I won't be able to go. So, and I won't be able to sleep all night because I'll be worried. He said, no, I'll tell you the solution. It's very simple. He says, what? He says, first of all, tie the 9 camels. So he ties the 9 camels, hammers the stake in the ground, and they're all tied. He says, now with the 10th one, pretend to do it. He said, what do you mean pretend? I don't have a rope. I don't have a stake. He says, no, just go around, act like you're tying a rope. So he acted like. Then he said, take the rope down and then pretend to have a stake and da-da-da, make a noise and hammer it. La-da-da, he makes a loud noise with a hammer. And he said, now tie it. And the camel really thinks that he's tied because he does all the action of tying him, hammering the stake. So he said, now go to sleep. Nothing will happen. The camel won't go anywhere. So he said, he was not sure. You know, he said, how can the... He went to sleep, and the morning he woke up, he found all the 10 camels fine. Even the 10th camel was very happily lying down, and he had already stood up, had his sleep nap, and he was ready to go. So he said, oh God, this trick worked. He was so happy. I fooled the camel. So then he starts untying them, you know, because he had to go now. It was time to go. So he unties 1, 2, 3, 9. He enticed them, and then they all start moving. And the 10th one, he hits his whip, you know, and the camel doesn't move. He hits the whip harder. The camel doesn't move. So the wise man again is coming by. He said, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm hitting the camel. The stupid guy is not moving. He said, but didn't you tie him last night? He said, no, the camel is not tied. Camel is free. He said, camel is free, but he thinks he's tied. He still thinks he's tied. So he says, you have to untie him. He says, come on, I have not tied him. There is no rope. There is no stake. He said, but the camel thinks he's bound. So pretend to pull out the stake and pretend to untie the rope. So he pulls out the stake, unties the rope, and then immediately the camel is happy. Oh, I'm free. He moves off. So what is the moral of this story? The moral of the story is we are that camel. We are exactly like that camel. We are free. We are ever free. We are that free spirit. We are free. We are not bound by any personality shackles. We have no problems. We are actually Sat Chit Anand. We are bliss. We are joy. We are happiness. We are security. We have no insecurity. We have no problems. Why? Because the consciousness has no problems. This body, mind, intellect may have problems, but that's not me. That is my equipment. So let it have. So when I realize that, then I function in the world free. It does not mean that the problems don't come. But problems come, but I am not affected. I deal with the problem, but I stay in that inner stillness. That inner stillness. Why? Because I have come in contact. I've experienced that I am that stillness. And let the world then throw all kinds of problems. He says, even the Bhagavad Gita says, Yasmin sthito hi dukhena guru napi vichalyate. He says, even the greatest sorrows, heaviest sorrows cannot disturb the man of wisdom who has experienced that inner truth. And then he no longer has unintelligent relationships. See, you and I have a very unintelligent relationship with the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. We want more objects. We want people to love us. We want to know more and more and more. So we chase after objects, emotions, thoughts. And when we don't get what we want, then we become miserable. Why? Because we have developed this unhealthy dependence. That's what they call an unintelligent relationship, an unhealthy dependence on the world to give us happiness. We become beggars of happiness. We beg from the world, please give me happiness. My husband, my wife, my child, my job, my money, my boss, please give me happiness, please. I am happiness. I do not need happiness from anybody because I am fine. So that understanding can only come when in meditation or with this reading, this text, we experience that oneness with the truth. And so that is why we say when you sit and meditate, go deep within, reach that inner stillness, and then remain established in that stillness. Let not the world disturb your stillness. Anytime problems come, just close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, and then go within. And there you will find a well of beauty, a well of comfort. Because ultimately, happiness is only within. Stillness is only within. Joy is only within. Success is only within. Outside is temporary. And it will come and go, just as the weather changes. You know, it was winter, and then it will become summer. So same way, it is, you know, happy, then we become unhappy. It was success, it will become failure. Let it be. But I am stillness. I am peace. I am happiness. So that is the essence of this beautiful verse. I think the verse like that, we just apply that. Yeah, go ahead.
I agree. For a normal life person, a normal human being, what you're saying, yes, because our eyes will have peace, we should not concentrate on body, mind, and intellect. I agree for you and me, but the normal life.
Right. But see, the thing is that today things may be okay, but tomorrow they may not be.
Yeah.
Like today I'm healthy, tomorrow I may not be healthy. And in my life, I've also gone through heart problems, joint problems, multiple surgeries. So nobody's life is free of problems. You may look healthy and we may look normal, but with this knowledge, you're able to, and even a person who is in a terrorist zone or say who is suffering from cancer, God forbid, like I was thinking to myself, suppose a doctor tomorrow tells me you have cancer all over your body, you have only 3 months to live, how will I deal with it? I think with this knowledge, I think I'll be fine. I honestly think I'll be okay.
Everybody has to go.
And now at least I know when I'm going to go. Otherwise you don't know. You know, you may be hit by a car, or you may live 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. We don't know. But now doctor has told me you have only 3 months to live. Okay, so I can plan my life. I can plan my will and do all my peace with people. And so the point is that with this knowledge, it makes you fearless. Otherwise, we always have fear because of insecurity. With this knowledge, you know, look at the lives of all these, you know, Sikh gurus, how much they went through. Cheerfully, no problems. Look at Jesus, look at Mirabai, look at, you know, all these great saints, Tukaram and Gyaneshwar, how many problems they had, but they remained unaffected. So what I'm saying is that, yeah, they were realized masters, but even before they were realized, if the fact that they are on this path, it gives you a great strength. Once you are walking towards Him, the Lord gives you strength. And problems will come to everybody. That's why they say sorrow comes to everybody. Suffering is optional.
That's true.
Sorrow will come, but whether you take it as sorrow or you take it as suffering, sorrow will come. You say, okay, sorrow will come, but I don't have to suffer. Even if there is a pain of cancer, I take pain medicine. And then I say, okay, cancer has come. Okay, it will take my body. Fine, take it. Anyway, I was not going to live forever. I live for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, more than that. Even you don't want to live. Your life is sorrowful. After 90 or 100, you know, none of your parts work. You can't see, you can't hear, you can't walk, you can't talk, you can't eat. What is the use of living? It's better to die. So point is that kabhi na kabhi to marna hai. We have to die someday or the other. So die cheerfully. Why die even? Why complain about death? It's like changing clothes. Krishna in the second chapter says in the Gita, just like a person changes old clothes and puts on new clothes, so you give up this old body, find a new body. What is there to cry about? Death is nothing. It's just a change of clothes. change of address, just as you move from here to San Luis Obispo, and then from there you move to Denver, and then to New York, then move to maybe New Delhi. So similarly, after you die, you're born, you died in Bakersfield, you may be born in Vietnam or New Delhi. So what? It's a change of place, a change of clothes. You get a new, fresh body to start your life with. It's so much better than that old, wrinkled body with all the pain and illness. Now I have a young, healthy body I can enjoy. So death has no fear for such people.
Right. To what you may not know.
I think what will help you is, you know, the six energy centers, the six chakras. Each one has a mantra. You know the mantra of each one?
Yes.
Om, Hum, Yam, Ram, Vam, and Lam. So what you do is you put your hand there away from that and then just chant the mantra. Om, and then just keep it there for a few seconds, maybe a minute or two. And pay attention. Put all your energy on that chakra. Then you move to the next one. Hum. Mentally, you don't have to do it loudly or mentally, and then either way, and just keep chanting slowly, hum. And then move to the heart, then move to the belly button, the groin, the tailbone, and then move back up, and take about 5 or 10 minutes, slowly do it, and pay attention. You'll find that your mind will become very still. If you have trouble sleeping, this is a most beautiful exercise, because you're then going inward, and you are calming and connecting all the six chakras. You are balancing them. You are balancing your inner personality. The body is balanced, you know, with food, with nutrition, but the inner personality is balanced with meditation. So doing this, you will find that will help you. So you do this yoga asanas, but when you lie down, that's what I do every night, and I find that my sleep is much more peaceful. So you do Om and pay attention, and you put both your hands here. Then do hum, then yam, ram, you know, the vam, lam, the six mantras. And then just go from head to toe, and then head to the tailbone, and then come back up just twice. So going from up to down, and then down to back up. That helps.
There is some Tibet music or some music for sleep chakra. Is that true? Like when you keep that music on YouTube and you can sleep?
I haven't. If it helps, that's fine. Yeah, sure.
Give me like deep sleep, because I have like bad insomnia. Like 2-3 hours I sleep and wake up, and then again 2-3 hours I sleep.
Yeah, you can do that. Sure. If it helps you to sleep, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. Did you have something you wanted to see?
Where do I get the information from the one for the 3-6 chakras?
I can give them to you at the end. You can write it down. And I made up a, oh hell, why are we living? Oh hell, why are, so Om, Hum, Yam, oh hell, why, Yam, Ram, Vam, and Lam. So then it's easy to remember. Om, Hum, Yam, Ram, Vam, Lam. Oh hell, why are we living? And then it's simple. Something like that, some crazy line you make up, then, or oh heaven, why are we living? If you don't want to say hell, you can say, oh heaven, why are we living? But whatever. So make something like that. So then those six mantras, each one corresponds to different chakra. So it's not that you are doing anything magical, but just paying attention to the inner equipment, inner energy centers of your body. Thank you.
Would it help? Wouldn't make no difference if you can't remember the mantras. You just say, oh, put your hand forward.
And just say Om is fine, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but the mantras do correspond to that.
Yeah, I mean, like if you forget
that. Yeah, but you can write it down.
Yeah.
Om, Hum, Yam. So Om, Hum for the throat, Yam for the heart, Ram for the belly button, Vam for the groin, and Lam for the tailbone. Om, Hum, Yam, Ram, Vam, Lam. Oh hell, why are we living? Or oh heaven, why are we living? In like heaven better. Yeah, no, the chakra does correspond to that particular mantra. I mean, you can say Om for all of them too if you want, but if you want to be correct, use the each mantra for that. Hum, Yam,
Yam,
Yam, Yam for the heart,
mm-hmm.
Ram,
mm-hmm.
Ram for the belly button, Vam for the groin, and Lam for the tailbone. Om Hum, Yam, Ram, Vam and Lam.
Just one time.
Yeah. And then go, but go slowly, not like that, not running through. Om Hum, Ram, Ram, Ram. No, that's not. You spend 30 seconds or a minute at each chakra. Yeah, and then keep on there. Say it a couple of times, Om, and just keep your hand there. Don't rush through it. And we take about 5 or 10 minutes to do it. We don't have to rush it. You don't have to catch a train or a plane.
How to clear your chakras in 5 seconds.
Right. Go slowly and spend about a minute at each chakra, so totally 10 minutes.
On the yoga, Tuesday, devil goes with the chakras.
He does the same mantras?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, it's very common.
Yeah.
It's there in all the yoga sutras, yeah.
So different asanas.
Right.
Not put you to sleep.
Right, but this is while, I do it lying down. You're just lying down and you just keep a little couple of inches away from the body. Or you can even put it on the body if you like. It's up to you, whatever.
So when you wake up, do you think do you have any other mantras?
No, I just chant the name of Lord before I get out of bed. Om Namah Shivaya or Shri. Whatever, the name of the Father and the Son. Whatever your mantra is, chant that before you get out of bed. At least a few times. Don't get out of bed until you have chanted the Lord's name a few times. I don't do the mantras in the morning. I just chant his name and then go about my daily duties. But, there are mantras from time to time. I will, a set of mantras I chant. You can do that in the morning or at night. But as soon as you get up, the first thought should be the Lord's name.
Do you believe in grahas, Navagraha, and then your graha is weak, so you chant that mantra?
Grahas do have power over us, but I don't know much about them, so I don't believe in them. I believe that if the Lord is there, who has created all the grahas, if you have the Lord with you, then, there is a famous bhajan, Janaki Nath Sahai Kare. Listen to that bhajan. Janaki Nath Sahai Kare, to kaun bigad sake man. She says, when the Lord of the universe, you are remembering him, then these grahas, these planets which have influence on us, they will automatically become beneficial to you. It's not that the planets don't have effect, but when you remember the Lord, he is more powerful than all the planets. Suraj, Mangal, Soma, Bhrigu, Sut, even the Shani can also not do anything. That's what that bhajan, listen to that. When you go home, Google it. Janaki Nath Sahai Kare. I think those who understand Hindi, just Google that bhajan and listen, Janaki Nath Sahai. Beautiful bhajan, so melodious. And there he says, when the Lord of the universe is there, what can these planets do? I'm not saying that the planets don't have power, but I don't know much about them, so I don't pay much attention to them.
One time, Shiv, the story about Shiva and Shani.
Huh?
And then Shani says, okay, this is it's your time, so I'm going to catch you, Shiva. He'll tell Shiva, threaten Shiva. And then Shivaji gets scared, and he hides himself in the big tree. And then after his time is gone, and then he comes back, and then he'll tell to Shani, Dev, what did you do to me? I'm away from you. That is what Shani is, because you hide for so long, so I made you hide. So that is graha.
Yeah, there are a lot of stories are like that, but we don't know how much.
Word is true.
Yeah, because if the Lord created that Shani, then I don't think the Shani could affect humans like us, because we are powerless, we are weak, but I don't think the Lord would be affected. I think just some Pandit must have made it so that we get scared of Shani.
Oh.
I think so.
To get money and
jobs. Yeah, so that you come and do the prayers for that particular planet. I don't believe in a lot of these stories.
When the sun shines through you, when you get up, and I tell you the first, of course, Satnam Sivaya,
right.
I say, and then I see the sun, first thing I see, I'm greeting, and grateful, and I love the sun.
That's true.
Beautiful sun, early morning sun.
Yep. Sun is more powerful than all the planets.
Yes,
the sun can. So I chant the Gayatri Mantra. Actually, when I wake up in the morning, I go out to the east. I always chant the Gayatri Mantra to invoke the sun's power. Yeah. So there are a few mantras I do through. But as much as possible, I try to remember the Lord. Even when I'm at work or when things are going well, I try my best as often as I can.
He's with you, you have to think.
When I see a beautiful flower, see a sunrise, you see the moon these days, I remember Shiva.
Yeah.
The moon is so pretty, the crescent moon in the west is gorgeous. So, you know, that's how you take every opportunity to remember the Lord. What we'll do today is go inward and invoke the inner peace, the inner stillness, experience that. Separate your mind from the world of objects and go deep within. Eyes closed. Back is erect but not stiff. A soft smile on the face. Meditation is a beautiful activity. It's my appointment with the Lord. My exclusive time with the Lord of my heart. Body relaxed from head to toe and then back from toe to the head. Relax each part of the body. Now observe the breath. Pay attention to the air as it moves in and out. Do not control or regulate, just observe. Full attention to the air. There is a consciousness within and without us. This consciousness illumines, makes me aware of my waking dream, and also illumines my deep sleep. This consciousness illumines and makes me aware of my body, my breath, and my mind, my thoughts. That consciousness I am. I am aware of this body. I am aware of the breath as it moves. I am aware of the thoughts that arise and die down. But I am none of those. I am not the five elements. I am that permanent, spirit of knowledge, consciousness, awareness. That is who I really am. Go deep within the core of your heart and experience the presence of that consciousness. Experience the deep inner peace, inner stillness. As Jesus said, the peace that passeth all understanding, that is within us. We just have to discover it. Let us spend a few minutes with that state of peace. Oh.